Jesus Christ began his ministry as recorded in Mark 1, verse 14. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news of the kingdom. And so if we look at the Bible from Genesis to Revelations, we see that it's a recorded history of God's love for mankind, mankind's sin and repentance, and then God's plan to redeem man. God's love, man's sin and repentance, and God's plan of redemption. So we see that man has a part to play in his own redemption. Man must repent, must believe the good news of the kingdom if we're ever going to make it into the family of God, to change and to believe God's plan. So I titled this sermon today, The 180 Plan, A Call to Repent. The 180 Plan, A Call to Repent. I work with a company that has a plan called the 360 Comprehensive Exam. The exam is designed to focus on preventive health care for our members. The exam is conducted by trained nurse practitioners who complete the exam in the member's home. If you hadn't been to the doctor in a year to a year and a half, they call you up. And then they set an appointment to come out and see you. The comprehensive exam includes review of the system, medication review, nutritional assessment, depression screening, and a foot exam, especially if you are diabetic. And the results of the exam is provided to your primary care doctor to coordinate follow-ups to the member on any recommendations. The exam allows the physician to recommend changes or to do a 360 to help correct any health problems. So let's suppose Mr. Kellers and Mr. Vernage and Mr. Martin were given the awesome task to come out and visit us, to give us a spiritual assessment. What would they find? What would they find if they came out to do a spiritual assessment? Would they find that we are having our daily prayer and Bible study? What about fasting often? What about preparing for the return of Jesus Christ? Watching and waiting. Daily overcoming and enduring. Living every day like a Christian ought to live. Is that what they would find? Or would they find a call to repent? Let's take a look at Ephesians 4, a review of our spiritual system. I'm going to be reading, brother, from the New American Standard. It has large print. I feel like I'm getting like someone who gave a sermon last week, and it seems like we're all getting to have to use large print, some of those of us giving sermons and sermonettes. But here in the New American Standard, Ephesians 4, a review of the system. This is where we should be to grow to the stature of Christ. Ephesians 4 and verse, I can find it here, Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 11. And he gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. For what reason? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, to the building up of the body of Christ, that is the church. That's each one of us here. Until we all attain or come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature or a perfect man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So that's where we should all be, a review of our system. That's what they should find. What about medication review? Medication review. When I used to collect the debit for a company, there was a little old lady that had health problems. She kept some foster children. She had her own grandchildren there, and her father, even he was sick sometimes. And so I called her up one day, going to go by and collect her insurance premium, and she was so happy. I said, "Why are you so happy?" And she says, "Well, I've had a dose of Jesus." I thought that was funny. And I said, "Why can't I be like that? A dose of Jesus." Let's go back to Proverbs 17:22. And we'll see the same thing here. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. And you're not going to believe this, but this morning I was looking through the newspaper. And they had in the newspaper, "Come on, let's get happy." And they give 10 points here for being happy. Point one, decide to be happy and make it your top priority. Smile more and learn to laugh at yourself. Volunteer your time, either one-on-one or to a group. Donate your money according to your abilities, even if it's a dime. Make time. If you stand by the street and you give somebody a dime there by the viaduct, they'll throw it back at you. Make time for the threes, that's faith, family, and friends. Create a list of things that you are thankful for or that make you happy. Write a list of things that make you unhappy. Look for solutions or ways to eliminate them. Learn to manage your time and money. Be active and make healthy choices. Create a list of goals or dreams and work diligently toward them. And I might add, obey the commandments of God. That'll make you happy. That will make you happy. That leads right into the next one, nutritional assessment. Nutritional assessment. What was Christ's motto? Well, we'll find it back in Matthew 4, verse 4. Matthew 4. And verse 4. We'll pick it up in verse 3. And the tempter came to him saying, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Now, Jesus Christ didn't have time for tricks and gimmicks. But this was his motto. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And that should be our motto, to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then what about depression screening? Now, if our minds are on the brethren here, on the work, on the holy days, on the world to come, we shouldn't have time to get depressed, should we? Let's go back to Colossians 3. We shouldn't have time to get depressed. A lot of people call in to Health Spring that are on depression medication. And then some of these people even have to have a psychiatrist to help them manage their medication taking. Depression screening. Colossians 3 and verse 1. "Therefore, if you be raised with Christ." Now, most of us in here have been baptized. So that means that we should be raised with Christ. He says, "Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind where? On things above, not on things on the earth." You see, if our mind is set on things above, we shouldn't have time to be running around being depressed. "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed or appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." So that's where our mind should be. We should never have to get depressed. And then finally, the foot exam. Now I'm going to play on words with this one here. 1 John 2. 1 John 2 and 5 and 6. So forgive me for playing on words. Here it says, but whoever keeps his words, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. This is in 1 John 2, verse 5. 1 John 2, verse 5. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says that he abides in him ought himself to walk the same manner as Christ walked. So if the minister came to our house and did a 360 exam, would they find us walking as Christ walked? Jesus Christ indicated that if our minds is on the work, and if our minds again is on God in the holy days, then they should find us walking as Christ walked. Jesus Christ indicated that repentance and asking for forgiveness and changing to become more like him is a daily effort. A daily effort. In the model prayer, this is the prayer that he gave that's recorded by Luke. We find these words, give us day by day our daily bread, indicating that we should be praying daily. And he goes on to say, forgive us our sins. For we also forgive one another who in debts to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Day by day. Does Satan go on vacation? I don't think he does. So day by day, we should be praying and asking God to do these things. And so if we are praying daily and we are incorporating this into our prayer, then we should be repenting and asking for help on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Again, the title is the 360 plan, a call to repentance. God does not tempt any of us. And God does not force any of us to obey him. And by the same token, Satan cannot make any of us sin. Can't make any of us sin. We make that choice. We sin when we are drawn away by our own desires and enticed, no matter how great or how small that sin may be. And when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, that is unrepented of, it brings death. And so this is why God devised a plan, because God knew that we all could possibly fail. And God was right. God was right. God so loved the world, the most quoted scripture of all the Bible, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And verse 17, the one that is not quoted, says this, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through Jesus Christ might be saved. But we do have to repent and believe the good news of the kingdom, the good news of those verses. We have to change. We have to do a 180. We have to come to live, as Christ said, by every word of God. So how would our 180 spiritual assessment outcome be? Have we made it? Are we sin free? Are we sin free? Have we overcome everything? Have we come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? Is our minds stayed on things above? Now is the time, as was brought out in the prayer, for self-examination. Now is the time. And if you're not baptized, it's still good to examine yourselves. We must always be on guard Just when David thought that things were going well with him, up popped a Bathsheba. Let's go back to 2 Samuel 11. Up popped a Bathsheba. Verse 1, 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. Then it happened in the spring at the time when kings go out to battle. You wonder if they just did this for the fun of it. That David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel, that's the armies. And they destroyed the sons of Ammon, besieged Rabbah. But David stayed in Jerusalem. David stayed in Jerusalem while his men were out fighting. Verse 2, now when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house. Now, there's nothing wrong with walking around on the roof. Nothing wrong with that. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. Now, at that point, David should have done a 180. Should have done a 180. Let's see what happened. The woman was very beautiful in appearance. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And he said, and one said to him, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? They were trying to protect David. But David sent messengers and took her. Now, I'm sure Bathsheba was screaming and kicking. It doesn't say that. I told someone last week that I was going to talk about this, and they said, wouldn't anyone like to have the king? But anyway, he laid with her. This is in verse 4. And when she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her house. And in verse 5, the woman conceived, and she sent and told David. And she said to David, I'm pregnant. And so David tried to cover it up. He tried to have Uriah to come in and sleep with his wife. That didn't work. Because he didn't go in and sleep with his wife because all the soldiers were on the front line. So then what did he do? He had David put on the front line, which was guaranteed death. Guaranteed death. And so in verse 26, dropping down, this is 2 Samuel 11, dropping down to verse 26. Now when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. Verse 27, when the time of mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife, and then she bore him a son. But the thing that David had done was evil in the sight of the Eternal. Evil. Chapter 12, verse 1. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he said to him, there were two men. One was in the city. One was rich and the other one was poor. One had many sheep. One had many cattle. The other one only had one sheep, which he brought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and his children. And it would eat out of his bread, eat bread out of his hands, and drink out of his cup. This little ewe lamb would eat out of his hands and drink bread and drink water out of his cup. It was like a daughter to him at the end of verse 3. Now a traveler came to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take from the flock of the rich man. Now a traveler came to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take from his owner's flock or his owner's herd to prepare for the wayfarer who came to him. Rather, he took the poor man's ewe lamb and prepared it for the man who came to him. And then David, in his anger, burned against this. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, surely the man who has done these things deserves to die. And he must make restitution for the lamb 4 times because he did this thing and he didn't have any compassion. And then Nathan said to David in verse 7, "You are that man. You are that man." And then God said to David, I anointed you king over Israel. And I delivered you from the hands of Saul. And I also so gave you your master's house and your master's wives in your care. And I gave you the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And if that was not enough, I would have given you whatever you ask. And so why have you despised the words of the Lord by doing evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife, and you have killed him with the sword of the sons of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and you have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Thus says the Eternal, behold, I will raise up enemies against you, even your own household. And I will even take your wives before your eyes and give them to your companions. And he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. Indeed, you will be secret. You did this in secret, but I will do this thing before all of Israel and under the sun. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned. And Nathan said to David, the Eternal has also taken away your sins, and you shall not die. And so we see that, and we know from the story that David and Bathsheba paid a great price for the sin. Even though God did forgive them, they did pay a great price for the sin. And David did deeply repent. In Psalms 51, we won't turn there, David wrote these words, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitudes of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me." And so David did repent. And God did forgive David, but they did have to pay. He and Bathsheba had to pay a great price for their sin. And sometimes, brethren, we have to pay a price when we sin. Let's take a look at Psalms 32. At this time of the year, God is in the forgiving and the blessing business during the days of unleavened bread, the days of examining the self. God is in the business of blessing us and also forgiving us of our past sins. In Psalms 32, verse 1 and 2, we read this: "How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sins are covered. How blessed is a man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity." Dropping down to verse 5 and 6, "I acknowledge my sins to you. My iniquity I did not hide. I say I will confess my transgressions to the Eternal. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found." And dropping down to verse 10 and 11, "Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Eternal loving kindness shall surround you. Be glad in the Eternal and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all of you who are upright in heart." So repentance comes with also blessings after repenting. Sometimes we also have to pay again a great price for our sins, but God still loves us. God still loves us. The first step in repenting is that we must acknowledge that we've been living contrary to God's way, as we've seen even by the example of David. Step 2 is willing to choose to obey God's commandments as the only acceptable foundation for a right relationship with God in Jesus Christ. Again, willing to choose to obey God's commandments as the only acceptable foundation for a right relationship with God in Jesus Christ. Step three is to accept Jesus Christ's sacrifice as paying for our sins. Step four is to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Step five, to receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit by laying on of hands of his ministers. And then step six, to begin to live a life of righteous development with the power of God's Holy Spirit. Again, beginning to live a life of righteous development with the power of God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Day plan shows God's love for each one of us. The Passover reminds us that Jesus Christ shed his blood for our past sins and suffered that we could be healed. The Days of Unleavened Bread remind us that we need to come out of sin and to yield to a life in Jesus Christ. Pentecost reminds us that we are to receive, that we do receive God's Holy Spirit to aid us as first fruits of the kingdom. Trumpets remind us of the second coming of Christ to intervene in man's affairs and to bring mankind peace. And then atonement reminds us of a world being freed of Satan for 1,000 years and mankind finally being at one with God. And then the Feast of Tabernacles reminds us that Jesus Christ will rule on earth along with his first fruits for 1,000 years. And then finally, the last great day reminds us of a time when that is coming when all those not yet previously called will have a chance to repent and believe the good news of the kingdom. What a fantastic plan God has to redeem mankind. This time of the year, as we approach the Passover, God does expect us to examine ourselves. We find that in 1 Corinthians 11. Let's take a look at that. 1 Corinthians 11. And beginning at verse 26. As often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, until he comes. Verse 27, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. And in verse 28, but a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So after examining ourselves, God in Jesus Christ expects us to take the Passover. If we go over to 2 Corinthians 11, a few pages over, I'm going to read this from the King James, or the New King James, verse 5 and 6, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 and 6. Paul writes, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Now, what would make us disqualified? Not repenting and not changing would make us disqualified. But he goes on to say, I trust that you know that we are not disqualified. But you know, brethren, in all of this, salvation is still a gift. It's still a gift. We find this in Ephesians 2:8. We don't have enough money to buy salvation. We cannot be good enough to earn salvation. It is a gift of God. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Paul writes here in Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. Even the faith is not by us. That, even God gives us that. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. So even salvation is a gift, brother. Faith in God is a gift. But we do have to do our part. We have to do our part. In Romans 6:23, God had this recorded, that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So, brother, here's the thing. The wages of sin is death. But God, through his great love for us, has provided a way for us to escape death if we repent and if we come up under the blood of Jesus Christ. Again, the Bible is a book of God's love for man, man's sin and repentance, and God's plan of redemption for man. But we must do our part. We must repent and believe the good news of the kingdom. And so, and we must do a 180. So, brethren, I do hope and pray that we will all have a deep spiritual assessment before the Passover. And that we will have a spiritual Passover. And that we will have a happy days of unleavened bread.